Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
At the end of July this year, I vaccinated Frick for rabies. Medically, it was no big deal. I mean, it took me less than a minute, and she hardly noticed. Emotionally, it was a little bit more difficult. And no, I'm not going to get into a tirade about unnecessary vaccinations. The reason it was difficult for me was because I knew that this was her third rabies vaccination. First one's good for the first year, and then after that, the vaccines are good for 3 years. So suddenly, I had my proof, my concrete proof, that my dog is now 7 years old. Mathematically simple as that appears, I was surprised. I don't know why, but for some reason, I keep thinking that she's about four. Maybe it's the way that she runs and plays with Ollie and plays by herself and enjoys her squeaky toys and just is a general all-around good dog. But in that instant, when I had undeniable proof that she was indeed 7 years old, it brought me up short. And suddenly I started thinking, whoa, she's middle-aged. And as I can say from personal experience, once you hit middle age, old age seems a lot more inevitable. I don't know about you, but when I have something on my mind, I tend to consciously or subconsciously attract or focus on those things that support this line of thought. So in this particular case, it didn't surprise me that after I vaccinated her on Saturday, the very next Sunday I happened to catch an interview with a woman who writes a blog and a column about dealing with aging parents. Sad to say, I don't remember this woman's name because I was listening to her as I was driving to the grocery store with the dogs early one Sunday morning. And while I was very interested in the conversation she was having with the interviewer, I was also focused on getting in and out of the store before it got hot. But one of the things that did strike a responsive chord during this interview was the statement that dealing with aging parents and those who are failing forces us to live in the present because you never know what's going to happen. At first, that struck me as a contradiction in terms. My rigid, anal, control freak side said, well, if you're dealing with a situation where you can't be sure what's going to happen at any given moment, then you have to do everything in your power to cover all the bases and to be constantly on the lookout for the least little change. The problem is that in the process of worrying about the future, we lose sight of the present. It might be that brief flash of lucidity in the parent with Alzheimer's or senile dementia. It might be that period of brief awakeness when the loved one with a terminal illness recognizes us. And if we miss those times, it will seem like we're just constantly waiting for a disaster or in the midst of one. It seems to me that our older animals perhaps enable those of us lucky enough to have them to dry run this scenario, to learn from the animals that the present is all we have. The nice thing about companion animals compared to human loved ones is that the humans might try to fudge things, hold things back, not tell us the truth about how they feel. But they don't. They stand next to the bed, they stand next to the couch and say, "Help me up, I want to lie beside you." They force us to live in the now, to value every moment in the here and now. Not to get so caught up in regrets of what we did and didn't do in the past and our worries about what may or may not happen in the future. I'm not saying that animals aren't aware of the past or the future. even though some people insist that they aren't. I happen to believe that they are. They know the past. They know the future. And I think that some animals, like some people, are as good at forgetting as well as forgiving. And that's a good thing for us humans, too. Because when you think about it, forgiveness without forgetting isn't worth a whole hell of a lot. So they teach us that. And I think this is another reason why the human-animal bond is so deeply, deeply entrenched in the human DNA and cultural memory. Because these are lessons we need to learn. And these are lessons that, unfortunately, we might not be able to learn from other people until it's too late. And so even though it came as a shock to me that Frick is already 7 years old and I'm middle-aged and I don't know where the time went, it's a heads-up, too. A heads-up to remember to savor every moment with her and also with the other animals, to live in the present with them. I think that's a good lesson. And on that note, I'm going to end this podcast and go outside with the dogs and go down the driveway, pick up the mail, listen to the birds singing, check out any changes in the wildlife, and just enjoy the moment with them.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.